Oh, yeah. So we're very happy to be joined today by Birkbeck Councillor Sue Bolton, who is a member of Socialist Alliance and just recently published an article for the for Green Left titled 10 Steps Labor Could Take to Address the War on Iran, Lebanon and Palestine. So good morning, Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
So Sue, I kind of want to start off this interview by hearing your comments about what is your assessment of how the Albanese government has responded to the gas crisis? And in fact, many people were were watching with bated breath just 16 days ago. Anthony Albanese's a rare address to the nation on April 1, where we're hired, kind of hoping for some kind of big sort of major announcement, but it turned out to be absolutely nothing. I want to kind of hear your comments on really how is the what do you think the how do you think the Albanese government is addressing this?
Well, probably firstly, before talking about the gas crisis, it would be good to say that the Anthony Albanese government has been absolutely pathetic about the war in Iran, a war which was just initiated and where the aggressors are the United States and Israel. And really, the gas crisis could be solved overnight, really, with US and Israel ending this war forever, not making undue demands on Iran or on Hezbollah, and paying reparations to these two countries. Not to mention the fact that Israel is still bombing Gaza on a daily basis while this is all happening. I think that's sort of got to be the basic first thing that they do before looking at measures that might be taken inside Australia. And the US could actually do, sorry, Australia could take some significant action to try to stop the war or put pressure on the US to stop the war, because the US can stop the war anytime it likes. And one of those would be to deny the use of its Australian bases to Pine Gap, its Pine Gap surveillance base, which is used in Middle East wars, was used in the war in Afghanistan, and Australia should be immediately withdrawing any military personnel who are on secondment to the US Army and Navy. And should also be withdrawing its military plane and any military planes and military personnel from the Middle East. And it needs to break the military alliance with the United States. That's really what's driving or partly driving all of this. So those are like some preconditions. You can't really solve the gas crisis or the fuel crisis in Australia or around the world without really dealing with the US military and breaking ties with the US military and, for that matter, the Israeli military as well.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, Sue. And I guess there's a, but I also think one of the things about this whole crisis that's been caused by this war is that it's raising kind of a lot of political questions that the capitalist class is unwilling to address. Because the reality is there is an element where there is a lot more pressure on the United States and Israel to end this war on Iran. But one of the reasons isn't because of any kind of, like, even from the Australian government. Like, the Australian government is also, there was an interesting interview with Penny Wong on the 7:30 report where you know, following the ceasefire that happened recently, well, the fake ceasefire, Penny Wong was sort of trying to have give this sort of double speak where she was basically saying, oh, you know, on the other hand, you know, the Australian government is committed to peace, you know, we don't want any de-escalation, but at the same time, they were, in a sense, giving support to the military aims of the United States. So we're saying, yeah, well, we supported their military aims, but we just think they need to wind up now. And the reason why that they're arguing that we need to wind up now is they want everything to go back to normal because, you know, the blockading of the Strait of Hormuz has basically put the global economy into kind of disarray. And I guess what questions does that raise about the capitalist system and its reliance on fossil fuels, but also its reliance on this kind of global kind of market economy that where capital is constantly has to accumulate at any cost, even to the environment and to workers' well-being?
Well, I think it goes to this question of the role that fossil fuel and fossil fuel companies play in the world economy, which isn't just about petrol, because fossil fuel is used for the manufacture of plastics, so that plumbing supplies, as soon as the Iran war happened, plumbing supplies leapt by 35%. Now, these were plumbing supplies that were created before the war, so they weren't affected by the war, but they immediately jacked up all the prices because plumbing supplies are, like pipes and so forth now, are made with a form of plastic which involves oil. And so the oil companies are at the heart of the world economy, and they're also the reason why the world has not taken serious action on climate change. And they're also the reason why they have, over many decades now, not just recent decades, but many decades, have pushed their parties in power, which in Australia are all three of the major parties, although some of them are not so major anymore, to not do any research into renewable energy and try and block at every turn any kind of shift to renewable energy or looking for other products, other materials that are not based on being byproducts of the oil industry. So these companies have enormous power and they have their politicians in place and they have their scientists in place, just like there were scientists in the employ of Big Tobacco. The oil industry has their scientists in the heart of Big Oil, and they are and there is a crossover between some of these companies and military companies, weapons companies, and other companies involved in the military industrial complex. And there's a little badge which was produced during not the Iraq War, during the in 2003. But in during the Gulf War, when the US invaded early 90s, saying no blood for oil. And in reality, what that invasion was all about was over who controlled the oil field, which companies. And really, out of that invasion of Iraq in the early 90s, the US managed to take control of the oil fields away from their European competitors. That's really what happened in Iraq, what the US got out of that invasion. And so we actually, and there's been very little discussion in Australia in response to this fuel crisis about shift to renewables, hastening the shift to renewables, providing the infrastructure for people to move to renewables. Only two states have experimented with free public transport, but public transport needs to be dramatically extended in order to make it a realistic option. So for lots of working class people to be able to get to work or get to do what they need to do. And that shift in terms of climate is so obvious, and yet there's very little discussion about that.
Keith, I want to kind of hear your kind of comments as well. I mean, is, I guess, in terms of like, what are the kind of next steps that we need to kind of take to kind of end this war, especially in terms of building a movement to put pressure on the Labor government, but also governments all around the world?
Well, just before I answer that, I forgot to say, in terms of the fossil fuel industry, I think we need to end all of these subsidies to the fossil fuel companies. They get enormous subsidies from federal and state government, and there needs to be a proper tax on the mining industry, with the money being invested in renewables. That's really critical. And also, the energy industry needs to be in public hands. Those are some things, as well as the expansion of free public transport to be continued permanently, but an extension of public transport. Those are just some things, not the only things, but some things. In terms of ending the war, I think Australia needs to break its military alliance with the United States, and the centrepiece of that alliance, but not the only part of that alliance, is this AUKUS military agreement. Australia needs to get out of this. Australia needs to stop being part of the US military alliance. What purpose does it serve Australia? It just means that Australia is drawn more and more into the US wars. It's already been willingly part of too many wars which have caused devastation for hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq and in Afghanistan and other places. We need to break that alliance, and we need to kick out all US bases in Australia, in particular Pine Gap, but other US bases in Australia. We need to break that AUKUS alliance. And we also need to break all ties with the Israeli military machine as well, by cancelling all Israeli arms contracts and suspend any other arms agreements or defence agreements with Israel. We could also do things like kicking out the US and Israeli ambassadors. And we also need to push for US and Israel to pay reparations to all of these countries they've been marching around and bombing. What the US wants to do is, eventually they do want an agreement to end the war, but they want it all to be on their terms. And that shouldn't be the case. US and Israel want to be able to dictate terms for every other government. They want to turn other states into failed states. They do not want to liberate anybody, and they're not able to liberate anybody because they're fundamentally undemocratic, militaristic societies. And so, we also need to call for reparations, because they've done huge damage to people and cause huge death and destruction to people in Lebanon, Iran, Palestine. Like, they shouldn't be allowed to just get away with this scot-free. They should be forced to pay a price for all of this death and destruction they're causing around the world. And we do need to try and stop the United States, because we also know that US imperialism won't stop at one country. The US is planning to march on and attack Cuba. They've already attacked Venezuela. They want a submissive world, and that's also what Israel wants throughout the Middle East. They think they've got a right to just bomb any country they choose in the Middle East without any repercussions. And we've got to take strong action to stop that, or try and stop that. And there are all sorts of sanctions Australia could carry out against Israel and the US to help stop these two military machines.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Sue. And I guess I want to kind of hear if you have any kind of final comments to make, especially on the recent announcement, which predates your article from Richard Miles, the Minister for War, basically talking about about the increase for military spending and how you would respond to this sort of propaganda argument that's being posed, that we have to increase our defence spending because the world is so uncertain and, you know, with all these global conflicts.
Well, I'd react by saying, who's making the world more uncertain? It's the United States that's making the world more uncertain through launching these military attacks on other countries, you know, whether it be Iran or Venezuela, or bombing of boats in the Caribbean, judge, jury and executioner, like they've killed hundreds of people in the Caribbean in these little boats. You know, you'd be, have you hardened your mouth if you were involved in the fishing industry going out in the Caribbean to fish. The US bombed a dairy farm the other day in Ecuador. You know, the US is the one that's creating an uncertain world. And the people who would have suffered, like outside of the Middle East, who would have suffered from this war, would be much more people in global South countries like Philippines and so forth. I mean, we might think we've got it, you know, bad in Australia with the increasing prices of everything as a result of the war in Iran, but this has caused much more havoc to global South countries and humanitarian efforts in different countries as well, where there might be famine suffering or civil wars, as in Sudan and places like that. So it's the US that is making the world unsafe. And Australia should be spending its money on not on military, which will make the world even more unsafe, and not on their alliance with the US. They need to pull out of that alliance and focus on international solidarity and support for global South countries, and as well as support for people in Australia.
Well, thank you very much, Sue, for being on our program this week. I think this has been a very kind of important discussion. And, I also just like to make a note to our listeners to get along to the Palestine rally this Sunday at 12 p.m. on Palestine Prisoners Day. And also keep up to date by following Green Left for any updates on the latest protests and public discussions and events against the war in Iran.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again, Sue.